Kia ora. Welcome to IOU, the University of Otago Alumni Podcast Series, where we get to talk to some of our extraordinary graduates about their out-of-the-ordinary day jobs. Today, we'd like to welcome Human Nutrition Masters graduate Daryl Puppy, who works as an international nutrition specialist with the Food and Agricultural Organization of the United Nations. Daryl is also one of our inaugural 2020's Young Alumni Award winners in recognition of his contribution to health and well-being through leadership and innovation in nutrition programs. So kia ora, Daryl.
Kia ora, te aloha lava.
It's great to have you on our podcast. I think you're in Samoa at the moment. Is that right?
Yes, I'm in Samoa at the moment.
Is that where you're based?
Yes, I'm based here in Samoa.
So I think to start with, if you could just give us a little bit of background about your childhood and how you decided to do human nutrition at Otago.
Yes, it's a story that I always tell a lot of people hoping to inspire young minds. So back in 2012, when we were given the chance to choose a university, and a lot of our cohort at the time, they chose to be in somewhere like up in Auckland, somewhere very familiar, and some chose Wellington, you know, with the big Pacific communities that are around that area. And then for me, I was looking up, and Otago was one of the best. It is the best university in terms of science. And so funny, but it's the main big reason why it solidified my chosen university was I wanted to see snow. Because, you know, growing up in the islands, you only see those in the movies. But, you know, but seeing in one of the brochures that we were looking through at through the University of Otago, it had snow like that covered all of, and it looked like a Christmas land. So it was a dream come true when I came to Otago and got to experience, you know, a nice thick snow. But, you know, I didn't really enjoy it like 2 days after, but I enjoyed it when it was falling at the time. Yeah, I grew up in Samoa. So I was born and raised here in the islands of Samoa. My only time that I moved away from the islands was when I was given a scholarship by the Manaaki Scholarship through the NZA, Ministry of Foreign Affairs. And then that is the reason how we got the chance to come over to New Zealand and to study in New Zealand. So the reason why I chose human nutrition was, so everyone, you know, being from a Pacific culture such as Samoa, taro is everything. So, for example, it can be because, you know, how we have a chief Matai system here in the islands. And so everything has it has to be a big thing. So, for example, what I mean is, if you're studying science, everyone thinks that you're going to be a doctor. Everyone's going to think you're going to be an engineer. Like, you know, all those big courses. So if you're studying arts, everyone expects you to be a lawyer. If you're studying accounting, everyone expects you to be an accountant. So, you know, all those big name jobs that people want you to be. But, you know, for me, I wanted to see the gaps areas here in Samoa and also in around the region, Pacific region. And one of the big areas that has a big gap was the nutrition. And it's very, you know, and I was advised by the great team at the international office at Otago University and, you know, also the Pacific Island Center, you know, all these services that are given at the University of Otago offer for free. And, you know, it was very fortunate that I took up these opportunities and also the advice and also these services that really, really helped me solidify to study nutrition. And I got to be honest with you, I didn't really enjoy it at first. But when you got to be in the field and got to see the impact that you can make in the livelihoods of, you know, Pacific communities, it really ignited that fire. And it really brought me. And it is where I realized that this is not just a study area for me, but it is a calling for me to do nutrition for my people. Yeah. So, yeah, I hope I've given you some little bit of background there.
That's great. How did you cope with the change, apart from the snow, which, you know, you were looking forward to, but then probably found really cold and slushy? How did you cope with the enormous change to move to Dunedin?
You know, it was, you know, I got to be honest, it was a big, big shock. It is such a big change. Not only the school, not only, you know, the environment at school, but also, you know, the weather, you know, not being with families, not being with that sort of support group. There was a lot of things that, you know, that changed when I moved down to Dunedin. I'm sure, like, for that's one of the reasons why other students at my cohort for scholarship chose Auckland and Wellington, because it is much more familiar because it has a big community of Pacifica. But for me, when I came down to Dunedin, it was basically like you'd hardly see any Pacific people around. So it was a big change. But how I cope was also the university. You know, they really make sure that their students are well-kept and well, you know, supported. Because I remember when we just arrived, the Pacific Island Centre community was there. The Pacific Island Centre of the University of Otago was there, you know, with open arms at the airport and got us to the university. And they checked us into our accommodations at the time. And also there were services from the international office, making sure that we, all that gaps is reached. So I gotta say, like, Otago University really, really gives many, many support. And it's all a matter of, you know, sometimes it's just asking, and, you know, you have to have that courage to ask, and then everything will be given to you in 10 times fold. Like, it'll be a list of brochure. And also, I wasn't the only one. You know, I was amongst peers that were also coming together and all sharing that same experience of culture shock and, you know, having that community that, you know, got through together. One of the biggest thing now that I remember, it's that you're not the only one that faces these challenges. Like, you are surrounded with, you know, our whole group, and also not just your group, but also for other students, even if they're from New Zealand, it's also a big change for them too. So it was good to have that shared challenges, and you get to talk about it. But plus, the university really offers a big help for these students.
And were you involved in other, like, student clubs or anything like that? Any other associations that you have some good memories of those?
I was very active with the Pacific Island Centre at the time. So we were, I don't know if you have been to any Pacific Island Welcome in the beginning of every year. And it's one of the biggest Pacifica events. And it's really good to, that's where we get to meet other islands as well, the Pacific Islands. And so I was very involved. I was also the social rep. So social rep is basically the person that organizes events for the Samoan Association in Otago. I also volunteered during O-Week, Orientation Week. I was with the OUSA, and it was mainly for a free ticket and free, you know, get around the areas and venues and all the events. But, you know, I enjoyed doing the volunteering with all social clubs that were had. Yeah.
So after your initial degree, you went off and worked for a while, and then you came back. What was the motivation to come back and do your master's?
There were a lot of things that motivated me to come back and do masters. One, it is to further my education in nutrition and to further my skill sets. I know I was the only qualified nutritionist at the time in my workspace. So, you know, being that first, I also wanted to be a good, like, first as well. So in saying that, I was always wanting to come back to study masters. So as soon as I got back from doing my bachelor's, I was working in the communities, and that is where I got to see the firsthand experience of the impact that and the need of my degree in nutrition. So we worked a lot in the rural areas, and, you know, it's making sure that you leave behind an impact, that someone can make changes, a behavioral changes in their lifestyle. So I've always known that there's like a gap in my delivery. So that's one of the reasons why I came back, but also I wanted to, you know, to have that backup so that I can grow up as a professional in this area. So I chose Otago again for the snow again. But really, what made me chose Otago again was not the snow this time, but it was because I got to experience the support of the university, not only through the Pacific Island Center, but also the international office and throughout the OUSA, all these services that are provided, and also the community. It's funny that I'm saying this, but you know, the Dunedin is very supported by the community as well. The people in the Dunedin, they're very welcoming and very helping and making it. I really enjoyed my, because it was during lockdown when I came and did my master's, and you know, all the community came through at that time, and you know, food, things like food and small things, and it really makes your studies enjoyable and very well supported. You feel that you're part of that community. Even now, being here in Samoa, coming back here and serve, I still feel that Dunedin is my second home.
So where did you go from there, Daryl? You studied your master's, and what happened after that?
So when I was studying my master's, the last 6 months we got to choose a placement. So we were given an opportunity to choose whatever area that you want to work in. So some students work at the university, some went and worked for the community centers, nutrition centers. But I chose to work it in Wellington, you know, something unfamiliar for me. I chose to be at the Ministry of Health in New Zealand, because that is where I was working at when I was here in Samoa prior. So I was hoping that I got to not only further my education, but also have that experience of working in the Ministry of Health, so that when I come back, I can, you know, hopefully I can bring in the same skill sets and also how Ministry of Health New Zealand are handling nutrition in that space. So I want to come back and, you know, bring in that experience. So when I was in Wellington, I was working with a great team up there. They really supported me. There was also Massey University. Massey University came through, and there were a Pacific Island Center as well there. And they came and helped me, you know, around in Wellington. And also they gave me an opportunity to work with the Maori community and also the Tongan communities. So that is where I got to, that's where I started to feel like that I was limiting myself to just Samoa, everything links in the region. And also, you know, this, so that is where I started to think of working to improve the nutrition for the Pacific region. And when I came back, I came back and worked back to the Ministry of Health Samoa. And then just a year later, I was working as a NCD coordinator at the time. When I came back to Samoa, so I was coordinating all the NCD programs in the communities and also in the in workspaces, all the public sector, private sector, and also coordinating the help from ocean food agriculture. And just, I really enjoyed my job there. And then a year later, I was offered a job from the Food and Agriculture Organization. And in saying that, in that scope of my work at FAO, that is where I got to now working in the Pacific region. So under my profile, I'm looking after 14 countries in the Pacific region.
Oh, wow. It's huge.
Yeah, it is very huge. But we have a great team and we're very well supported, and also working with the nutrition teams of each island. I was very fortunate because I know these people that are working in this spaces, because I've been working at the Ministry of Health Samoa during my bachelor's like 5 years. And every time I represented Samoa in the regional meetings, that is where I got to meet and link up with nutritionists from other islands. So I just got back from Niue just 2 weeks ago. I was in New Zealand, and then I flew into Niue, and that is where I got to review their food-based dietary guideline with the team there in Niue, and also validate it.
So explain some of the work that you're doing, some of the programs that you're working on around the Pacific.
So there's a big project that we call the UNJP, which means United Nations Joint Project. So it is a project where, in hopes of linking all the UN agencies, so that when they come to the countries, they come in as one UN instead of, you know, say, for example, WHO comes in work on nutrition, and FAO comes in, works in nutrition. You know, all agency comes and serve one goal. But instead, now we're trying to unify all the help and support and then walk into the country as one. So we're one of the leading agencies that we lead these programs. And so I got to work with, you know, link help from WHO, UNICEF, is also SPC, the Secretary of the Pacific Commission, and then we bring that, unify that help, and then, you know, give it to the country.
And what are the big issues that you're dealing with? What are the challenges that you're facing?
Yeah, so my area that I'm working in, it is to create and review and validate the based dietary guidelines for islands. And so every island has a different issue, even though we're all like Pacific islands, but every island has its own unique challenge. And also it has its unique way of solving those challenges. For example, here in Samoa, it's, you know, we have a 200,000 population. And when you go to a place like Niue, it's only 1,600 people there in Niue. So it's a whole different, you know, type of resourcing and also the capacity. The people in Niue, they wear many, many hats. So say, for example, only 1,600, and then say, for example, like 20% of that population works in government. So that 20% has wearing many, many, many hats. So, of course, these countries are overwhelmed with all these, you know, projects and all these duties and responsibilities, not only within the country, but also their own commitments and in their homes. And so there's a lot of, so it's very different challenges. But, you know, the overarching challenge, the reason why we're doing this project, you know, as you are may aware, the Pacific Islands is labeled as the NCD capital. NCD is non-communicable disease. It is the non-communicable disease capital in the world. So you find like 10 islands in the top 10 of the, you know, the obesity rates and all these things. So those are the challenges now with all the, you know, the influence, the Western influences and all these foods coming in, they're basically rubbish that are brought into the country. Say, for example, the mutton flaps. You rarely see mutton flaps in New Zealand, but the main provider is from New Zealand to the Pacific Island countries. So, you know, these areas, you know, there's a lot of going on. And also in New Zealand, as you are aware, the meat cut that we're eating in New Zealand is not as good as the ones they're, you know, exporting overseas. So, you know, it's money is something that, you know, that are, you know, roots of all evil, as they say, like, you know, So there are many, many challenges. There's no one simple challenge, but a whole network of challenges and the reasons why these challenges are arising. So, you know, there's no one solution as well. But if only we had that one solution, that one formula that can solve everything, but unfortunately not. So it is all about, you know, you work in your own space and make a difference in that space and with all different spaces coming together. And
Yeah, it's a huge job, isn't it? It's enormous.
It is a huge job.
So in the face of all those challenges, what keeps you motivated? What are the actual rewards? What's the other side of it?
What keeps me motivated? I really don't see motivation when you're enjoying it. You know, when you're enjoying something, you're not really motivated to do it. Like, you're, it's more like you're doing it for your own happiness. You know, and for someone to be motivated, that means they're not enjoying something. And, you know, but if you're enjoying something, you don't need to, you know, motivate. So I'm really enjoying it because, you know, as I said before, I mentioned earlier how I'm one of the very, very few in the Pacific in this space. And, you know, solidifying those spaces and making it your own and making sure that these spaces are, you know, opened for other people to come in and serve as well. And just being around, you know, all the people that are making good works, it really makes your job enjoying. You know, even though I'm working at FAO, but I'm still, you know, linking up with professors from and leaders from Otago University. You know, all these network you built, these relationships, the Ministry of Health New Zealand, I still talk to them. Also the Massey University and the people from Ministry of Health, you know, here in Samoa, like we're all linking up. So I get to see them and it's good to hear them, like, you know, fighting in their own bases to make a difference. So,
I imagine creating these connections is a huge part of your work.
Beautiful. Yeah. And now I get to, you know, sometimes at 3 a.m. in here in the region, and we're on Zoom meetings with people from Rome, you know, you get to meet other people from across the world. Like, see, even this, like, I'm sure, like, you know, I got to meet you too through this, you know, because of this work that I'm doing, and you are interested to know what I'm doing here. And that's one of the biggest enjoyment of this job, is you get to meet wonderful people.
And this sounds like a long-term mission or work for you.
Yeah.
You see yourself staying in this for quite a while.
Yes. You know, I'm also a New Zealand citizen, but I chose to stay back to Samoa because I really see the need of me being here and, you know, these vulnerable communities and vulnerable islands. You know, we're not only facing this nutrition problems, but also climate change. Climate change is a firsthand experience here. It's like, you know, when you talk about climate change in America and in New Zealand, Australia, you hardly see the impact. But here, like, we get to see it firsthand. Like, you know, all these. So you're wanting to be, you know, make a difference while we can. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, that's really interesting, Daryl. Thank you. Just one thing, looking at the journey that you've been on, which is quite a journey. What would you say to young Pacifica today, starting out, thinking about what they're doing, their direction, any young student?
Yes. The biggest advice I would give to a young Pacifica student is to, you know, there are services that are offered and available. Do you know, these services are not there for, to overwhelm you, but these services are there to work for you. These services at Otago University, when I first came to Otago University, I always felt like, you know, the more I go find these services, the more confusing I will be. But it's actually not. Like, you know, these services are there for you, are there for me when I was there. So when I clicked on that, that's when I was like at the door every single time asking for help. And, you know, and I got that help. And, you know, the help that really changed my career path was the international office at the Otago University.
Right, yeah.
I still remember we were talking about this lady, Claire, and she was there at the international office. And she really helped me, you know, make a decision on nutrition. And when I saw nutrition here in the Pacific, it is a huge, huge space. So my advice to young Pacifica minds, you know, find that space. Don't be another, you know, another thing. I mean, it's not bad to be another doctor, another lawyer, but find spaces that, because we all contribute in one thing. As I was saying before, like, there's no one solution. You being a doctor would solve the world problem. No, it is a working network of everything interconnecting, and you find that space and solidify it as your own, and then make it your own space. And, you know, you'll be the best in that space and be the only and be the best space. Yeah. In that space. And that's where we, yeah.
You're quite an inspiration in those terms. I hope you're getting out and meeting lots of young people in around the Pacific. Thank you so much for talking to us, Daryl. That's really fantastic.
You're welcome.
Yeah. And I hope you have a good day.
Yeah. Thank you so much. It was really lovely to talk to you as well, and hope you have a good day as well. And thank you for doing this.
Thank you. This podcast is part of a University of Otago alumni series presented by Margie Clark and produced by Fiona McDonald from the Development and Alumni Office of the University of Otago.